Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Harvest Christian Fellowship Amarillo Campus Podcast. This week, Pastor Curtis House begins our new message series over words with part one in How Out of the Heart the Mouth Speaks. For more information, visit harvestchristianfellowship.org or download our app in your app store. Thanks and have a great day.
Got an argument this week. As that argument progressed, I spoke to this man, and I just finally had to tell him, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's so junior high-ish, isn't it, church? If I could have thought of anything else, I just couldn't think of anything else to say. Wouldn't it be nice if that were true this morning? Wouldn't it be nice if we could say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? The truth is that words really do hurt. Sticks and stones oftentimes don't hurt near as bad as the words that are thrown at us and thrown towards us. And we're starting a new message series this morning. We're going to be talking to you over the next couple, 3 weeks about words and the importance of the words and the choice of words that we use. See, the scripture says this, the power of life and death are in the tongue. And out of the heart, the what speaks? The mouth speaks, right? So we speak basically what's in our heart. So if I were to ask you today, what does judgment look like on your life based upon the words you speak? You ever thought of that? Wouldn't it be something if there were a running tally on the words that we speak and how we speak them and who we speak them about? What if there were a running tally out there, church, somewhere, some way that weighed the good against the bad? Did you know of all the things that are in eternal, God keeps that tally? That's kind of scary. And I'm gonna take you through a process today so that you can kind of see that. And that really, if we use bad words, bad language, if we talk about one another, if we're involved in slander and that type of thing, church, oftentimes it should be a conviction upon us about the condition of our heart. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to jump right in. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 33. Jesus is making some great statements here. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? Now he's speaking to the religious scribes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees here, the religious people, okay? So a brood of vipers fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment. Holy cow, that's a running tally. I don't like those. At some point in time, where a tally comes due, right? And he goes on to say this, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, just let me put you at ease for a moment, okay? God is on your side. God wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to be the Lord of your heart. I mean, if our words, if they condemn us, he says this, they'll also be the very things that set us free. Right? Romans 10:9, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe where? In my heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's eternal. That's eternal. But it doesn't lighten up what Jesus is speaking about here. He uses this metaphor. See, the tree is known by its fruit. The tree is our heart. Our words are fruit. See, if there's no heart change, listen, church, there'll be no mouth change. It's amazing. I was walking down the halls of the junior high here a while back going to eat lunch with Bethany. And, you know, junior highers today are a lot taller than they were back in my day. And so I'm walking down the hallway and I'm like, God, these kids are big, man. I'm like fitting in. They don't even know. And I could not believe the language that I was hearing. It was terrible out there. You can get on Facebook and just see there are words today that are so common among us that are so terrible. bad cursing and cussing and poor choice of words. See, it's the condition of our heart. And if there is no heart change, there's no mouth change. Proverbs 6:2, you are snared by the words of your mouth. Satan's goal is to snare us with our words. I want to talk to you about three deceptions that are out there today. And these would be fun for us to go through. Lies that we've believed about these words. Lie number one, the freedom of speech. Uh-oh, I'm going to get right into the First Amendment. I got your attention now, right? See, we tend to think that's an American right, the First Amendment. Did you know that this was really written to prevent tyranny? Not so that you could just fly off at the mouth, loose lips, sink ships, folks. It happens. And so the First Amendment's out there really to prevent tyranny. But it's been used and abused. Today, pornographic material of all kinds have used the First Amendment to support this business practice. That is ridiculous. I could go on about that, but that was never the intention of our forefathers. See, when they wrote it, they were looking to say, hey, freedom of speech should protect us from tyranny of the government. We should be able to speak how the government is acting on our behalf or not upon our behalf. But it should better the community, not worsen it. It also gives the right, the First Amendment gives the right to peaceful assembly and protest. I've seen a lot of that lately. Knocking out windows, burning buildings down. That's not freedom of speech. See, does that mean that I can say anything, anywhere, at any time? It may be American, but listen to me, church, it's not kingdom. It's not kingdom. Abortion is supported through the freedom of speech. But that's not okay in the kingdom. In Nevada, prostitution is legal, but that's not okay with God. Our words are not free. There is a higher law than the American law. It's called the law of the kingdom. See, the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away. Guess what? The New England Patriots are not always going to be the Super Bowl champs. Bless God. It's going to pass away one day. It's that time, that era is going to be over. See, Matthew 12:36 says that every careless word that I speak is eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the carelessness of my words are somehow eternal. We don't tend to look at it that way. Did you know that when you curse someone or when you tell them they're worthless, you could scar them for life and they may grow up believing that they really are worthless? Instead of holding everyone in a valuable way, your words could actually be generational curses set upon someone else in their life for eternity. It's scary, but they could also bring life. See, you've probably heard someone say something like this. I probably shouldn't say this, but. I know a lady that says this oftentimes. She says, I smell a butt coming. Right? I really do know her. She's a funny woman, and she's a very educated woman, and that's what she says. In other words, there's an excuse coming. I probably shouldn't say this, but. Well, don't say it. Psalm 39:1 says this, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle. See, the King David knew something. He knew that he had to use his mouth, his tongue, to glorify God. Oh, he questions at times through the Psalms, but most of the time as you're going through there, he's either lamenting or praising and blessing God. Line number two, it's this one. I'm just kidding. You know, I had my daughter read over my notes this morning. Always good to get children's wisdom, right? And she said, you know, people in our school say that all the time. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, or that's roasted. Is that right? Roasted. Yeah. Yeah. She was giving me some of the slang that's being said and thrown around. Somebody's burnt. That means you got them. You know, you kidded them so bad they're just sitting there roasting, I guess. That's the best I got from that conversation. Proverbs 23:18 says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? Ephesians 5:4, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. See, I was just kidding can become dangerous. And James says it this way, James 3:8, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. I can communicate hurtful, critical words under the guise of, hey, just kidding, I didn't really mean it. You know, you're a goofball, but I really don't mean that. You're inadequate, but I really didn't mean to say it that way. Just kidding. Right? We tend to sow these little things into other people's lives instead of holding them in a valuable way. See, it's manipulative. It's a way to communicate without being honest. If I'm kidding, I have a way out. It's not an honest exchange. A lie number three. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Do you remember last week I was talking about emotions and the danger of our emotions? I said, a person who is not emotionally stable does not need to counsel themselves. I'll say that again. A person who is not emotionally stable should not counsel themselves. Here's why. Because words can fly when you're emotionally unstable. And sometimes we just turn them loose and we can never get those back. And they oftentimes hurt a lot worse than any bones that we ever break. People are usually not scarred by broken bones. I've seen broken arms. I've seen broken legs. One time, I'll tell you a funny one about how words kind of get involved. We were skiing when I was in high school, and this guy had a bad wreck down the mountain, and I skied up on him, and this is not normal. His ankle and his boot were laying up by his ear. Yeah, that's a bad one. It was really bad. He was laying on his stomach, you know, and he was screaming in pain. And I knelt down there, snapped my skis off, you know, and just trying to comfort him. I didn't know what to do. And I was just trying to talk to him. And my buddy skis up and he goes, oh, my gosh. Oh, that's sick, you know. And he just starts, so this guy starts freaking out again. You know, I'm like, hey, hush that. You know, you gotta hold on to those words, right? No matter how bad it looks, see, I'm going to bet that what hurt the man most is knowing somebody else is looking at his injury and saying, that is bad. You're probably not going to recover from that one. I hope we get you down. A lot of you have had broken bones in your life, but they've never scarred you like the words someone has said to you. See, as soon as our words are forgotten, we tend to believe that their influence is gone. But words don't evaporate that way. Words are eternal. Words can last a lifetime. Words of anger, hurtful words, caustic words, critical words, name-calling. Forgiveness doesn't fix everything. I think for too many years we've said, oh, just forgive them and go on. Just forgive them and go on. What if they've left a terrible wound? You've heard me say this. As a matter of fact, I had to remind someone of this just this week. That look, if that dog continues to bite, stay out of the yard. Forgiveness can be this. Hey, bless you, but I'm going this way. Right? Why? Because those words start flying at you. They're arrows that come at you. And though you forgive, it may not fix everything. Not the most joyous of truths, I know, but it's among the most sobering, if not the most. See, had I known this, I might have been less ready to speak, not so reckless in relationships, more mindful of the cost of words and actions, things that I've called people in the past, because I'm emotionally unstable at that time or in that season of my life. Church, we're to show a different way. I said last week, if someone slaps you on the right, offer the left as well. What happens when you run out of cheeks? And normally words start to fly. right? Along possibly with other things. But we're to show, Jesus continues to tell us, we're to show a different way. Hey, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, go with them how far? 2, give of the one who asks. Well, what if I don't want to give? Well, give to him anyway. Show them a different way. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's using words. You ever think of that? Prayer is using words. It's okay to pray when you're driving. It's okay to pray when you're brushing your teeth. It's okay to pray when that person is calling you all kinds of names. It's okay to bless those who curse you. Jesus is saying there's a different way. And church, we are to reveal this different way to a world that desperately needs to see it today. Boy, we should be shining brighter than ever. I think people should be running into the church by the droves just saying, hey, this world out here has become awful crazy. I'm looking at my Facebook and it's got 4-letter words all throughout it. It's not even worth opening. Who's combating that? Is it the Christians? Are we willing to stand up and step out and look different than the world we serve? Jesus is saying, this is how you'll change hearts, and this is how the words or the verbiage will get better. See, here's a couple of truths about words. First, understand that words reproduce. Words reproduce. Jesus taught us that the tree is like our heart. Like the fruit of a tree are the words of the fruit of our heart. Mature fruit contains in it a seed. It reproduces. But we live, notice, in a seedless culture. I like seedless watermelon. But how do you get something seedless to reproduce? And I think this is a problem because even though we see our lives as being temporal, we don't see the cause and effect of our words going out as eternal. I'll show you here in just a moment what that looks like. Oh man, I know people who have iniquities, severe iniquities because of their father or their mother or the lack thereof. Grandparents. A divorced parent. Manipulation. Hey, I love you today. Oh, you're going to go stay with mom today? Well, I can't stand you, and you know I can't stand her, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you shouldn't like them either, because if you really knew the truth about them, this is what they did to me. And this is, and kids are torn because they're in the middle of these conversations that they were never supposed to be in the first place. And they're hearing words, and they're hearing accusations, and they grow up being accusers themselves. Words reproduce. James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell, a world of iniquity inspired by hell. Bethany was telling me one of the most common phrases at the junior high today is telling someone to go to H-E double toothpicks. But they actually say it. Okay, I'm just trying to watch my words. But isn't that a shame? Iniquities are generational, meaning they travel from one generation to the next, from us to our children. Our words reproduce in the soil of others' hearts a whole new generation of hurt, bitterness, rage, and damage. When you turn your TV on, do you see blessings or cursings? What is selling in the media today? Is it love or is it hate? Is it unity or is it division? It's not hard to answer those questions, church. It's not hard. The very word of iniquity is being sown out there. And we as the church are called to bridge the gap, bring it back together, bring people to Christ, work on others' hearts, show them that they too are to be held in a valuable way. I said last week, we listen to reply instead of listening to understand. When is the last time we listened to understand a Democrat? A Republican? Instead, we're listening to reply. Well, I'll shoot that down quick. I'll talk to you all day about a bump stock. Right? I mean, even that right there sows something in someone's heart immediately. It's impactful. Churches should not be that way. Words reproduce. I think we should see that what Jesus, the reason Jesus calls us His friend, the reason why Jesus calls us fellow heirs, God calls us His sons, that we are seated in the high places with Jesus in the heavenlies. What's He doing? He's trying to sow good seed in our heart that will reproduce so that we'll know He's not up there condemning us. He's up there saying, come on, my son, come on, my daughter, learn my ways, because my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. I have a way that will lead you to the truth, that will prevent iniquities in your children, prevent iniquities in you. We pass it on by the continual assault of our words and withdrawal of our words. It's amazing to me how many children are scarred from the ages of 3 to 7, or the statistics show 1 to 5. But in these formative years, they're already scarred. And by the time they're 10, we're wondering, why did you fight it at school today? Why do you use that type of language? Because you do, Daddy. Because you do, Mom. It's what I know. I saw a deal just the other day. Someone sent it to me. A little girl is 9 years old, and she hurts herself trying to do a trick, and she uses a terrible four-letter word, and her parents are sitting there laughing. And I thought, man, the seeds of iniquity, how we sow them, what they look like. They're eternal for this reason. We pass them on from generation to generation to generation. Years ago, the Lord woke me up in the night and He said, I'm going to give you some words. I started writing these words down. Writing the words became sentences, and sentences became names. And I went through that and I was sweating profusely. I was in an apartment by myself. And the next morning, Allison comes by. She knocks on my door and I said, hey, I want to read these words to you. What do they mean to you? And this is why you got to hear your Heavenly Father. And the Lord said to share them with her. And she was about to go to class, probably 7:30 in the morning. I read these words and she started crying. She said, how did you know that? Who told you that? I said, the Lord spoke to me last night. I'm restless about this. I think it would be better if we had just started dating. And I said, let's just stop dating. Let's just cut it off. Let's cool it. I don't know what's going on. A couple weeks later, you know, I'm like, man, I really like that woman, Lord. I mean, the world. And this is what God said. I never told you to break it off. Those weren't my words. I gave you some words so that you would know she's the one for you and you can never use those against her. I can tell you to this day, Allison has never heard me accuse her or call her a name. 20 years this year. Now, my children have heard us argue. We do argue, but we respect one another, and I never forgot the word that God placed on my heart. You don't use those. She's been called, she's been told, she's been said, but those words are not for you. And I pray, watch, I pray I would die before I would ever choose to use those words towards my wife. And every man that's married in here should pray the very same thing, because you said it the day you came forward and said, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and health, forsaking all others, meaning forsaking all other words, as long as we both shall live, I do. I'm for you, I'm not against you. Church, words are what break us apart. Name calling. We don't allow name calling with our children. You shouldn't either. Oh, you can argue, you can fuss, you can even shove sometimes. And if you're like your daddy, you can throw socks and you're good at it. But don't you call names. Ever. We don't tolerate it. Dallas Willard says this, "Their little souls, bodies, and minds cannot but absorb the reality of assault and withdrawal in a climate where their parents or other adults are constantly engaged in them. And of course, they are soon in the line of fire themselves. They soon are being attacked and frozen out. In such context, you can almost see children shrivel. Their only hope of survival is to become hardened. This amounts to a constant posture of withdrawal. Even from oneself, it is a defensive posture, which incidentally makes attack on others and oneself easy and inevitable. Hardened, lonely little souls, ready for addiction, aggression, isolation, self-destructive behavior, and for some, even extreme violence, go out to mingle their madness with one another, nightmarish school grounds and communities." In 1999, the first school shooting, and I don't know how many we've had since then. Why? Somewhere they believed that they are something less than who they are. They've been told, somewhere words have been sown, and they stuck. Teachers, listen to me. What you say and how you respond to the children in your classroom makes a difference. I remember a teacher that I learned to love dearly. She sent me to the office to get licks. Back in our day, we got licks. It was a good deal. Mr. Painter hurt, though. I mean, he would sit there. Yes, he did. I got somebody's testifying in this place this morning. Mr. Painter, I remember it was the last hour of class, and I was in Miss Simpson's class, and I don't know what I found. I found a marker, and I decided I would paint a little mustache on. I was having a hard time in junior high with a mustache. So I just went ahead, and I painted one on, and I thought we were done with class. Matter of fact, she had left. And she came back in, and she started handing out papers. She had graded the papers that we had done that day. And so she started handing out the papers, and she said, "Curtis." And so I held a book up over my face like this, and I stuck my hand out. And she saw it, no major thing, right? But Miss Simpson, I remember what she told me. She said, "Curtis, I love you. You make me laugh. You make the whole class laugh. You're so funny. But you need to go down to Mr. Painter's office." And I go to Mr. Painter's office, no joke, and I'm sitting there in class, and Mr. Painter looks at me, and he goes, "You know, Curtis, you're a good kid. You really don't cause many problems, nothing else. I mean, yeah, you did put some glue in a girl's hair. But anyway, he sits there and he starts saying, "You know, you come from a great family and da-da-da-da-da, and you're going to have to catch the bus in a minute." So I was like, "Oh, you never talk Mr. Painter out of licks." And man, he's sitting there looking at my mustache, and he's kind of liking it. But at the end of the conversation, this is what he says. He says, "But it's going to cost you 3. And I said, "Oh man, it'll cost me." And they hurt, man. Mr. Painter just flat lights you up. You just put your hands on the chair like this, and it was coming. That big old paddle was coming, you know. I got to put my name on it, I guess. But other than that, you know, there was nothing good. But here's what they did. They never denigrated my character. They never said, "Hey, you're pathetic. I'm tired of who you are. I'm tired of the way you act in this class. I'm tired of da-da-da-da." What they tried to do is show me and twist me a different way. And they disciplined me without cursing me. Parents, you can do that with your children. You can discipline them without cursing them. Now look, if there's a character trait that's an iniquity, you can call that out. It's okay. If they haven't done their responsibilities, or you see lazy behavior or something like that, that's a little different. But but as far as going after their character and who they are, what a terrible thing, because that is generational. Those words don't die out. They tend to be passed on from generation to generation to generation. See, words hurt or heal. You know, if we don't get this, we'll be like Matthew chapter 15, where Jesus just simply says this, "The blind lead the blind," and they both fall into what? A pit. If you're having trouble with your words towards your spouse, towards one another, towards your employers, whatever it may be, I want to tell you, don't go to those who will sympathize and empathize with you. Go to someone you know who has conquered that in their life. Misery loves company, but it's a lie of the devil. It just grows. You just fed it. You just gave it reason to name call. Words will heal or words will hurt. Ask God to forgive you for your words that have hurt and wounded others. Forgive others for their hurtful words. And then remember that words last forever, church. We've got to remember this. There is an obvious eternal nature concerning the word we speak. We are powerful beings, more powerful than we could ever imagine. And if you think of words being eternal, you got to think about Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's an eternal word. When Jesus came up out of the water, the Lord said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." In other words, He showed a Father's blessing. He didn't pull out the iniquities in Jesus, not that He had any, but He showed us. I love this because Jesus says, "Be perfect as I am perfect." Yeah, right. Jesus, you got that one. I don't think I got, but could He set the bar any lower? He's God. He set the bar high. He said, "I'm calling you to a higher standard of living. I've been blessed by my Father, so I will bless you. But you too are called to be blessings and not cursings among the brethren, among others, among your peers, among your parents." This is why, hey, children, I don't think this has changed. Honor your father and mother. Through what? Through your speech. Through what you do. Through your actions. God has given us a way. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. If someone is hearing you speak, what would they say about your heart this morning? Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." I'm going to ask you this morning to take an evaluation of your heart through the words that you speak. Because the words will reveal what's really in our heart. And listen, I'm an old military guy in the Army, and sailors have nothing on soldiers. And I'd say that in every area of life. But anyway, now some of you are sailors. I love you too, okay? But we always say curse like a sailor. But there's cursing like a soldier as well. And I know that can be pulled up in me at any time, in any position, in any way. And I've got to pray through that. Lord, I want that old man to never be resurrected. I've heard it all. I've seen most of it. I don't need that stuff to be resurrected or find its way back into my life and into my children's life or in their ways. And you don't either. If you have iniquities today, we're going to have an opportunity for someone on the outside to speak to the inside, to speak an encouraging word, to speak a word of fruit in your life, to plant a seed so that that seed will grow and produce good fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold in your life. That's the eternity we're talking about. And that's what God has for us today. Jesus says, "You will know them by their fruit." You will know them by their fruit. Well, I want to be known by my fruit, my good fruit. And I know you do too. If you need prayer this morning, if you need a heart check, maybe it's not even for that. Maybe it's prayer for healing. Maybe it's prayer for a word. Maybe it's prayer for direction. Maybe it's prayer for the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe that's you here this morning. Whatever it is, that's why we bring each other forward. Because 1 John says, "If you confess your sins, therefore, to one another, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins." Watch. And cleanse us. Cleanse us. It's a cleansing of the old that's in there to the new. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, to walk out of here pure, to give it another shot, another way, to live in the new man and not the old. That's why we're up here this morning. If you need prayer, I want to encourage you to come forward for prayer at the end of this service. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this word. Father, for your word. Father, John 1, in the beginning was the Word. That Word that is spoken. That Word that creates. That Word that brings life and not death. Father, may that Word be what dwells among your people. In Jesus' name, amen.